You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome. Hello, everybody. Yeah, we're back on the airways. I hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas, holiday season, whatever you're doing. However it went down, whoever you spent it with, I hope it was wonderful. We're approaching, I think when this is played, we're going to be into 2026. We're recording this just on the end of 2025. And so, you know, as so many shows do, they do like a year in review, and I wanted to do that too. And there was no person that I think better qualified to spend that time with us than my dear friend and yours, Carlton Huffman, recovering Republican extraordinaire. What's up, buddy?
Well, I will sit here and say the start of the year, I think all of us were kind of filled with a sense of dread at the beginning of 2025.
We made it!
MAGA was ascendant. Georgia had just lost to Notre Dame in the college football playoff. But as we sit here at the end of 2025, I can sit here and say Christmas came early for me. I got to see Jake Paul and Andrew Tate both knocked out in the same weekend.
Yes.
And Georgia is sitting here pretty, getting ready to go to the Sugar Bowl against Ole Miss. So, like I said, the year is ending on a better note than it started.
It's on the upswing. That's good.
Absolutely it is.
Yes.
And I just want to just sit here and say, I mean, we went through a lot of bad this year, but I think it's just always important that we don't look at it through Pollyannish rose-colored glasses, but still, we have to sit here and say that the line has held in a lot of ways, so we can look forward to that into 2026. And so I'm going into it with a sense of hope compared to where I started at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think, and I have to say, we're talking about holidays. One of the great yearly traditions that I look forward to personally is Carlton Huffman's Festivus extravaganza. So if you are one of the very few people that get to experience this, just a sampling of what was to come. So this airing of grievances, things like this is timeless classics. Chihuahua owners are a bigger menace than pit bull owners.
Yes,
you know, things that annoy us, lawyers with bow ties. I think there was one about like passengers who put their feet on the dashboard and
gross and Jeep owners with the ducks. I think that one was from a previous year, but just all those right there.
TV like weather forecasters who name storms. When that happens here in Green Bay, it's a super annoying. Yeah. I mean, it was great. That was a compilation. Very, very, very well done.
And I can already say I have started the list for next year.
That's lovely. I love that. So as we look at 2025, you know, it started out with Donald Trump's second inauguration. And one of the things that really kind of set the tone was it was talked about with these January 6th pardons. And I had a conversation with a family member about this on the Christmas holiday vacation. And it was like, we knew something was coming and we knew that something was going to happen. But when he pardoned everybody, that set the tone for like, oh, wow. Okay. So, and it's been not super awesome from here. So what are things that you really that stood out this year about, in the political realm?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot to say in terms of a lot of the bad that we were warned about. And that's the thing that I don't like to be one of those who says, I told you so, but we were warned. Donald Trump said it himself, and the people around him said what they were going to do. They said they were going to do mass deportations, and we have had people, even in my hometown here in Western North Carolina, we had ICE going in, not to places where hardened criminals were, but going up to Home Depots, going up to Mexican restaurants, going up to places where predominantly Hispanic shoppers would frequent. We've had troops in the streets in Chicago and LA and other cities in the country. And we definitely have seen the rule of law shredded in many aspects. And I think that the most disappointing part has been the preemptive surrender of a lot of folks in the media. We saw ABC settle lawsuits with the president at the beginning of this term. And we've seen basically the Department of Justice politicized to a point that we've never seen in our history. So that's those are the highlights right there. Happy to dig into some of the particulars of those. But
yeah,
we were warned. We knew it was going to be bad. There were some ways where the they were innovative in terms of how bad they were going to be. But I can also sit here and say that we've seen a lot of resistance, kickback, and also the fact that a lot of these people that they are putting, yes, they are absolute loyalists, but by default, they're also morons. So we've been saved by a lot of incompetence in that regard.
Well, and, you know, I want to hit on all of those things. You know, the media was something that I wanted to talk about, and then the resistance to it. I want to hit that too, but I guess we'll start with the media. You know, it's... We had that the segment on that was canceled on 60 Minutes, and you had the reason was we didn't get a quote from the White House, but that's one, and it's a very big one, but in a long list of things where the media has really just abdicated their responsibility.
I mean, the fact that they will, at what point they made in the first administration is we're not going to televise the lies. Well, I mean, that's right. All that is coming out of these White House these right. days. And the media has decided, well, we've got an obligation to cover. So we're going to take these people saying what they're saying to us at face value. Like when it comes to the bruising on Trump's hands, we saw Joe Biden covered in a completely different way. Every fall, every stumble, every verbal miscue that he had was blown up and significantly covered, both in right-wing media, but also even you saw the mainstream media start to do their job at whenever Hunter Biden was being investigated at that time. And you see the Trump kids running around with their crypto coin schemes, basically lining their pockets and getting people from all over the world. And you see people basically buying pardons. And the media has basically decided to just accept that this is going to be how things are done. Steve Bannon said that we're going to flood the zone with excrement. And the media just seems to have accepted and thrown their hands up at the fact that this is how it's going to be. And I just want to salute a lot of the citizen journalists out there. You're seeing people whenever these ICE raids happen, it's not some mainstream reporter. These are people with TikTok accounts and their cell phones recording the abuses and putting them out there to a larger audience. But it's a shame that we have an institutionalized media in this country, but they are in many ways cowed by the threat that they are ruled by corporate overlords, and these corporate overlords have business before the administration, and the administration has not been shy. We've seen it with the recent Warner Brothers business deal that these people want their mergers approved, and therefore they're going to have to go to the administration for that thumbs up or thumbs down, and they'd rather surrender and take care of their shareholders than take care of the diligence that journalism requires.
I don't understand that. You know, you have some people, I know Jake Tapper has been outspoken. Anderson Cooper has been outspoken. And there are some folks that have talked about the need to tell the truth. And what's crazy is like, there's so much misinformation coming from the White House. And you could, in a news report, you could report on all of that, but that would cover the entirety of that half hour news segment. And so, you know, and the administration would say, oh, they're being so unfair. There's fake news, fake news, fake news. But they're just reporting the truth. They're reporting what it is. Honestly, the media and the news media just completely abdicating their responsibility. That's one of the most dangerous things I think that's coming out of this administration right now.
Absolutely, because one thing that we cannot just count on is the fact that the system is going to police itself. We've seen the Republican Party as an institution has folded. We've seen that Congress when it's controlled by both houses of Congress in Republican hands, they're abdicating their responsibilities. You had, of all people, Marjorie Taylor Greene in a New York Times interview today saying that Speaker Johnson has no independence from the White House. And then you have the judiciary that is supposed to rule on the constitutionality of these actions. They are asleep at the switch in terms of the Supreme Court itself. I mean, the lower courts, I think, are doing an admirable job of trying to slow things down. But if people do not have the facts from sources that they trust coming to them on a constant basis, they cannot effectively resist or know what is going on that they should be resisting from this administration, and people are basically checked out.
Well, and you know, you look at the Supreme Court, one of the things that I have on here is the Supreme Court allowing the state of Texas to just gerrymander out in the open. You know? Yeah.
And that one was a tough one, but I will sit there and say that I think on a positive note that people can look back to is that Texas being the state that likes to pride itself on the Alamo and being the big swaggering, I mean, manly men that people should look forward to as an example, you have to look at the Midwest. And I've got to salute the people of Indiana and the Republicans in the state Senate in Indiana in the face of enormous political pressure and repeated visits from the vice president, death threats to their families, doxing, and just like continued harassment from the president and his activists on every level. You had Steve Bannon basically broadcasting from the hallways of the state capitol there in Indiana, and they found courage, which is what more than we could say for a lot of these media folks. But people who were at the center of the storm found their courage, even within the Republican Party. So that's just one group of people that deserve our admiration and respect.
Yeah, that did take immense courage. You're exactly right. We're talking with Carlton Huffman about our year in review. And when it comes to fighting all of the excrement that's being put out, this year did have a fair amount of protests, from No Kings to the Good Trouble Lives On National Day of Protest. There's going to be another No Kings thing, People's March on Washington. Talk about that. What does that do?
It absolutely, and I can say this as like I said, recovering Republican, having seen it during the Obama era when the Republican Party as a whole after the 2008 election was in a much bigger hole than the Democrats find themselves, because John McCain got blown out in that election. Democrats had a super majority in the United States Senate and a big majority in the House of Representatives. And they were basically, Republicans had nowhere to go except for out into the streets with the Tea Party. And regardless of what you think of what they did motivate people. They did bring people together in community and solidarity. And that inspired candidates to get off the couch and run for office. And as time went on and the effects of the economy and resistance to Obamacare built up, that allowed the Republican Party to get back in the game and actually start putting wins on the board at the ballot box, which is where it ultimately counts. But the fact is that the No Kings protesters deserve all the respect in the world for what they put together. I can remember the first few weeks of the administration, it was mostly Hispanic folks who were just bracing for what was going to come. They were protesting at state capitals, and then you saw more and more people starting to come out. It's peaked right there in time this fall, right before the November elections in Virginia, New Jersey, and across the country. And you saw the results. You saw Democrats blow the doors off of the results in both those races. You saw Democrats win statewide contests in Georgia, which is something they had not done in two decades outside of the federal elections. And you saw in places like Pennsylvania, where Republicans had never lost local office before, you're seeing those offices in key battleground counties held by Democrats now. So, and we saw it too in Wisconsin. I said it at the very beginning of the year. Y'all were the first big test where Elon Musk threw $25 million.
Right.
Trying to get Brad Schimmel elected to the state Supreme Court, and he lost by double digits.
Yeah, we had her on the show. We're talking with Carlton Huffman. The year in review will continue on the Rational Revolution right after this.
You're listening listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Happy New Year! What are we doing with We're back! We're talking with my friend and yours, Carlton Huffman. We're talking about the year in review, and we were talking on the other side. We're talking about the election wins and some of the surprising off year and local election results that have happened. You talked about Wisconsin State Supreme Court, which that came up. I was talking with Jill Underley, our education secretary, actually, this not to drop a name, but she's wonderful. And we were talking about Susan Crawford and the amount of courage that she had to have to stand up to the richest man in the world trying to buy a Supreme Court seat. And I did this too. I have to give Brad Schimmel a lot of credit for how he handled his loss. I sent him a message personally as well with the integrity that he had in losing that race. He did it with dignity. He did it with class. And Brad's a good guy. I think you know Brad as well. But yeah, and then you had results in Georgia as well. It was some surprises this year.
And that's the thing that 2026 and whenever what's to come, I mean, it's basically everything that's on the ballot right now is a referendum of what we were promised with this administration. We were promised lower prices. We were promised stability. And instead we have chaos, higher prices, and just a general sense that things are not getting better in the country. And in fact, many ways people are thinking that it's getting worse. But I will just have to give, like I said, the Democrats, Resistance 2.0, all the credit in the world, because they decided to focus on the things that people cared about, which is affordability and holding power to account. And because of that, you're seeing Democrats win in places that they are not used to winning in. And that's something that has been the case for about two decades, that parts of the country, including in the South and including parts of the Midwest, where Democrats could not win, but now they're winning, and they're winning big. So I would sit there and say that that's something that you don't take for granted, that that's what's going to happen next year. But the protests, the organizational meetings, and just candidates just getting out there and being willing to put their name on the ballot, that is something that I think that we can take heart in as we head into the latter part of the year. And I would just sit there and say, too, the fact that you're seeing Trump basically go through the same thing that we all go through at some point in life, if we are blessed with the years, is that he's getting old. And you're seeing that he's slowing down and just... You take him out of the picture and they're screwed. They don't have really any redemptive agenda to speak of at that point. And the only thing that he could bring to the table was just the cultural excitement of, here I am, this amazing celebrity who everybody seems to love on my side. And he's the last unifying factor that they have. And one big surprise event that just had cultural ramifications, but also a lot of political ramifications that I think are underappreciated, was the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I had the opportunity to meet him, so I just will sit here and say, just the more I think about it, having met him in person, I mean, it says something whenever you see somebody that you've met, and even if you don't agree with them and you think that some of the things they stand for are repulsive, to see them gunned down in broad daylight in public like that, it didn't just have a personal effect on me. I mean, it had a big effect, not just with folks that are MAGA, folks that love Charlie and everything he stood for, but you just saw people just instantly recoil from the violence of that act. But it also, too, had a catalytic effect that basically has MAGA splitting up over some of the most profound issues since Trump came down the escalator. You've got Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens embracing outright anti-Semitism. You've got Ben Shapiro, who I think I would like to say in an earlier time he would have known better than to go along with Trumpism, but you find him having to basically sit there and say bigots are not welcome, and just spoiler alert, with MAGA, yes, they are. And you also saw, too, one of the great surprise stories, and it came out of the Kirk assassination, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She said that whenever she saw what happened to both Charlie and Trump's reaction to it, she's like, if I say I'm a Christian and I'm true to that fact, I can't keep acting like this. And that led to probably one of the biggest breakups of the year between somebody who was seen as the ultimate MAGA warrior in Marjorie Taylor Greene, basically being called a traitor by the president who she went and fought for, spent her own money for, and dedicated her life to. And she found out the sad effect, everything Trump touches dies.
You know, if someone would have told me at the beginning of 2025 that Marjorie Taylor Greene would be having like a relatively cordial conversation on places like The View and, you know, 60 Minutes and all of those types of places, and the conversation would revolve around her basically leaving MAGA, I would have said, you're freaking nuts.
It was like I said, she is also someone I've met, and that too is something that I could not have predicted, but it's one of the things that I would always say about her is that for a lot of these people, Steve Bannon, Jack Posobiec, and just like the who's who of MAGA influencers, they're putting on a bit. She actually believed in this stuff. She actually believed the agenda. And then it's whenever you see that it's just a man behind the curtain and not a wizard, you see, this it's not real. The commitment to this stuff is only what they say. Trump does not care about the forgotten man or woman of America. He cares about enriching his bank account.
Right.
And the people around him, they might care about deporting brown people, and they might care about slashing the federal government, but that's not what she campaigned on. That's not what Trump campaigned on. She believed it, they didn't, and then she had to either decide, I am either going to go along with what they've done and continue the lie, or I'm going to be true to myself. And it does not excuse all the odious things that she said and some of the just horrible conduct that she had before. But my hat is off to anybody who, whenever they are come to that fork in the road to decide either I'm going to lie or change who I am, or I'm going to leave on my own terms. And I just think that that's a beautiful thing about what she's done.
Yeah. And I think we're going to continue this on the other side of the break, but I do think that, she needs to have a tip of the cap for what she's done, because that took a lot of courage here. We're talking with Carlton Huffman here on The Rational Revolution. We're going to continue our year in review right after this. Stick around. What the heck? So, you know, if you want to hear this again, all of our episodes are available online at civicmedia.us. Find us wherever you get your podcasts as well. Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We got a couple more segments here with Carlton. I want to kind of finish 2025 and hear more of, you know, the events that you think were really important. Because I do want to hear that. But I want to say, too, we just touched on it. One of the things that I think Democrats need to get better at is figuring out how to be the party of the big tent, because, you know, I am someone who left the GOP. And so that's always kind of been my thing of there's room at the table for you, you know, and if you had these opinions and thoughts and all of that, and you've changed in some way, we need to make room for that. Now, obviously, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's not going to be a Democrat ever. However, if she is showing, you know, an ounce or two or three of some courage, and it goes that, you know, that she's doing the right thing on these specific things, she's not, you know, that can be acknowledged, and that can be, you know, let's work together on that. Because, I mean, she had a huge platform, and so I think Democrats need to be able to not take advantage of that, but take advantage of that, have conversations, and, you know, see where we can go from there. And I don't think they don't do a really great job at that right now.
I would sit there. I mean, once again, I'm not going to be just the recovering Republican just wagging my finger at the Democrats saying this is how it should always be and this is how you should do it. But I would sit here and say that Ro Khanna. He was one of the leading guys on the petition to get the Epstein files released, along with Republican Thomas Massie, but also Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Nancy Mace. And they were willing to stand up to Trump. And Ro Khanna, even though he is a progressive Democrat from Northern California, the Bay Area, he was willing to sit there and say, these guys have guts. And that does not mean that we're endorsing, that we're not going to endorse the platform. But I would just say to the Democrats, I mean, there are a host of folks like myself, like Mark, who like live in these key parts of America. I mean, North Carolina, Wisconsin are some of the most key states in the country in terms of both presidential elections, but also elections next fall. That we, like I said, I'll just speak for myself. I mean, I'm still a pro-life gun owner who just generally leans right of center on a lot of the social issues.
You're not a flaming liberal, Carlton.
No. So I'm sometimes reminded whenever I attend some of these events with Democrats.
You got a Roy Cooper sign in your, you know.
And that's the thing. I tell people it's like, it's not that I changed. It's that the Republican Party changed.
Yes.
And they basically said, I mean, they made sure they didn't, that I didn't have room to be there because I was not going to bend the knee to Trumpism and just sit there and say that things that are patently false were true. But as far as the Democrats go, they just need to be able to sit here and say, as a Republican, as a former Republican, I am not asking you to just adopt a pro-life platform, but I am asking you to sit here and say, we don't need to have pronoun checks. We do not need to sit here and endorse sovereignty claims that they announced at the beginning of these Democrat meetings. Or, I mean, just to sit there and watch, I believe it was Jamie Harrison at the beginning of the year as he was getting ready to hand off the DNC chair. They had to have a platform that was represented by equal numbers of men and women, but also non-binary, LGBTQ+, and just the majority of Americans look at that and are just like, just have the best person that's going to be up there saying the thing that makes the most sense. And that is the foot that you should put forward. And especially we looked at it, even though I might disagree with him on economics, but Zohran Mamdani in New York City, I have got to give him credit in terms of the affordability issue to go from 1% in the polls to beating Cuomo, who was a political dynasty there in New York. And then also just to go in, even though Cuomo was running as an independent, to beat both him and a Republican when you had the president of the United States not only against you, but the political establishment in New York City. That is something that I think that if you can have that for a progressive wing of the party, have some for like the centrist folks who won in Virginia and New Jersey. And you just saw in Virginia, New Jersey, they didn't win by a little. They won by a lot.
Huge,
and they converted areas that were pro-Republican previously.
What are other things that you have on your list of some big 2025 highlights?
I would have to sit here and say, like, one of the worst case predictions I had going into this year, I was worried that we were going to abandon Ukraine. And that blow up in the Oval Office between President Trump and President Zelensky, I thought that the worst case was going to happen at that point, that we were going to cut off Ukraine and lead them to their own, like I said, basically just good luck. But even though Trump just has this weird relationship with Vladimir Putin, the fact of the matter is that we have not abandoned Ukraine. We're still sending arms and supplies to them. We have not abandoned NATO, even though that alliance is strained. That is one thing that I will sit here and say, I am pleasantly surprised at where we are at this point of the year. I would say also just internationally, the fact that we start a trade war with China and then basically we have a higher tariff rate on places like Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia, and Canada and Mexico than we do now on China. That's something that is a head scratcher for me, but also something I could not have predicted, but I still think is significant because this tariff story isn't over. Its impact on the economy, but most importantly, our global politics is far from over.
Yeah. Do you think tariffs, you know, is that going to be something that goes into 2026? Do you think, you know, because here's my conspiracy theory, right? Like, our economy's teetering. There's so much uncertainty, all this kind of stuff. The Republicans need a shot in the arm. Let's say, you know, end of July, early August, Donald Trump's like, hey, these tariffs did what they got to do. They're done. And then Republicans can run on the fact that, hey, look at what we're doing. Look at all this.
Well, my thought on it is that the Supreme Court might actually, if they decide to go by the Constitution,
that's
and
true.
Just the powers, if they decided to wipe them away, that would be saving Trump from himself without him having to surrender. And I think that if those were taken off, that would definitely have a stimulative effect to the economy. But I don't know if we're going to have a transformational economy where people are feeling true relief and growth at a level that they can feel comfortable with. And but at the same time, too, we got to remember in 2018, the economy that Barack Obama handed off to Donald Trump and then he goosed with the tax cuts, it was going really good. And the Democrats still won 40 plus House seats and were able to do very well. And I mean, ended the Scott Walker era here in Wisconsin. Even though the economy was going great. So I would sit here and say that that is one lifeline that Republicans can hope for next year. But if those tariffs stay in place, then I don't see the economy going to go gangbusters. And that's just going to create that pessimism that definitely it's what sunk Kamala Harris at the polls last year. It will definitely sink Republicans this coming year.
What else is on your list?
The fact that we could be at war with Venezuela at any time is just something that was once again, that was something too I did not have on my bingo card. I mean, the fact that we have an undeclared war that we are raging in the Caribbean against who? I mean, a bunch of fishermen who are looking to make some extra money. But the fact that we're basically going through this whole drumbeat to achieve regime change in Venezuela without any hope of just, number one, achieving the success or sustaining that success. And then two, whatever is going to happen with Ukraine and Russia, that war just continues and does not seem to be any end in sight on that one. And the consequences of that are going to just continue to reverberate for the global economy and just for what our European allies decide to do, whether they trust the United States or not.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Trump said over the weekend that it was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard him say is that Putin wants Ukraine to succeed. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? And then as we're actually recording this right now, I just got a news alert that said that the United States has hit a facility along shore where it's alleged that these drug boats are loading up. So not only are we hitting them in international waters, apparently now we just did a strike on land.
All without any act of Congress. And I guess I would say, too, one thing that just we continue to see is there's a reason that Trump did not want these Epstein files out.
Yes.
Because the more that we just continue to see, they'll say Russia, Russia, Russia. They'll say all these conspiracies about the deep state out to get Trump. But it's just whether there was anything that criminal that Trump did or didn't do, the fact is that the relationship that he had with Jeffrey Epstein was a lot deeper and more significant than he wants to acknowledge and his supporters want to acknowledge. But I think this the biggest thing at the end of the day is the fact that powerful people seem to be able to get away with anything in this country. And I mean, we see it with Diddy only getting 5 years for prostitution. And it just, there is the sense, and I think it's roiled our politics on both sides of the aisle, whether you don't have to be Bernie Sanders or AOC to say that the billionaire class is getting away, if not with murder, then close to it with some of the actions that are alleged in the Epstein files. And just the fact that the Department of Justice is putting this stuff out there and then accidentally realizing that they didn't redact everything that they wanted to, but just revealing, but once again, more nefarious things than we knew at the beginning of this process. And so that's the story of how many people get named in those and the alleged actions of some of the people that are getting named in those is something that I definitely want to see justice pursued. But with this Justice Department, who knows whenever we'll see that done.
And I think one thing that's interesting is, you know, I've said this before, Trump 1.0, there were people like, you know, Rex Tillerson that he had, who, say what you will about the guy, he was a very principled individual and he was brilliant. And so he had people that put duty and the country ahead of, you know, Trump's ridiculously crazy things that he wants to do. Now you see people like, you know, Pete, you know, Hegseth, you know, trying to the Department of War, and is Pam Bondi, the most politicized Department of Justice ever. You have RFK Jr. that even with measles coming back says don't vaccinate your children. There's no guardrails to what's going on. And that's what I think has been interesting too in 2025 is to see Trumpism with no checks and balances whatsoever.
And I mean, it has the, like I said, I don't want to say that there's a bright side to a bunch of mendacious morons running this country, but I will say at the same time, the fact that they are morons limits the how effective they can be.
How much damage have they done in 1 year? I mean, like to allies abroad, to confidence in the with the people of the United States. What kind of damage was done in 2025?
Unprecedented, just simply unprecedented. I mean, the fact that we're numb to so much of it, the fact that, once again, the President of the United States and his family lined their pockets with billions of dollars from donors and investors in their crypto scheme that we don't even know. The fact that, I mean, in reference to the Epstein files, you've got this main seeming protection ring among people who did the worst possible thing to children. You see people looking to Europe as a leader of moral example, but basically there is no power example in the world aside from China, and nobody wants them running the world. But at the same time, nobody thinks that they can trust the United States. You saw all the efforts that we made to just align ourselves with the democracies of the world have been in 1 year. I mean, they are shaky at best. And well, in some cases, like with Brazil and India, completely undermined.
Well, we got one more segment with Carlton. We're going to talk, we did 2025. What is a preview of 2026? We got that coming up here in the Rational Revolution. Stick around. Be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was
welcome
easy
back.
To
welcome back. All right. So one final segment here in the show. We've got Carlton Huffman, and I want to put your consultant hat on. If you were advising a candidate, as we talked a little bit about, you know, what candidates should run on, and this is a referendum on what would be 2 years in power. If you were advising a candidate, how would you advise them to run? Would it be a referendum on Trump if it was like a, you know, a Congress or Senate and all that stuff? Because it seems like what the GOP is already messaging, and you know, I see this with our local congressman. All Democrats have is it's just they don't like Trump, and that's their only argument. And so some Democratic strategists are like, oh, you have to have these little nuanced things, and you have to do this and do that. And it's like, no, this ain't working. This is hurting. I'm not going to do
that. Sad.
What would you say? What would you do?
They are making a mess, and they are hurting you. That's it. That's the bumper sticker right there. They are making a mess. They are hurting you. Because you just look at your grocery prices at the beginning of the year. I was paying $14.99 for a pound of ribeye beef. It's over $20 now.
That's crazy.
You go and try to buy coffee. Because of the fact that the President of the United States does not like the fact that the people of Brazil actually held a president who tried to incite an insurrection to account and send him to jail. Because of that, we got tariff on coffee and our coffee prices are going up. You go and you look at having troops in the streets. You look at the fact that the people who were represented at that inauguration were the billionaires, the tech bros, the fact that they are getting rich and you're not. The fact you were promised that this was going to be a golden age for America. It is the golden age for the few and not for you. That's what you run on. Do not get distracted by all this stuff about trans people in sports, and do not get distracted by the fact that they're going to say that you're going to defund the police or defund ICE. Just they are making a mess and they are hurting you.
So in 2026, as we kind of look ahead, this is when the people's voice will be heard. 435 House seats, 35 Senate seats are going to be up for grabs. What is going to happen?
Well, I will sit there and insert one other election that's going to be very important and very pertinent to everybody in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court election in April.
Yes.
That was the big one that set the tone for what happened in the rest of 2025 at the ballot box. That is going to be the chance for Wisconsin to just prove that what happened in 2025 was not an aberration, that we are going to go forward. And if y'all can keep that seat in hands, then I think that y'all are going to be, that's going to send a very powerful message, both for what's going to happen in November in Wisconsin, but also what will happen in the rest of the country.
Yeah, that's true.
At the end of these redistricting wars, where Texas did their thing, California, and get credit to Governor Newsom on that one, and it looks like Virginia is going to step in and perhaps Maryland is going to step in and just kind of even things out. All the things that Trump tried to do as far as redistricting his way to a majority perpetually, that looks like it's not going to work out. So we have an even money election, then I think that the Democrats are going to win, and they have the potential to win big in the House. And depending on candidate quality in places like Iowa, I think that the Democrats have a good shot in Ohio as well. Texas might be a little bit too much of a reach to ask for, but if Democrats can just not get distracted by some of these other ancillary issues that Republicans are very good at weaponizing, then the heartland of the country has probably been hurt the most by these Trump policies, especially like if you're a farmer. Good luck. Good luck to you right now, because these folks have messed up your industry so fundamentally, and you have no certainty whatsoever. So I would say that that's going to be a big indicator is the Democrat performance in the heartland of America, which whenever you've got Vivek Ramaswamy already trying to reinvent himself in Ohio, that means he knows that his basically LARPing as a MAGA warrior is not playing well in Ohio right now. And the fact that you saw, like I said, in places like Georgia, of all places, where you saw Democrats win big time on the affordability issue. And I think that Democrats, too, if they want to talk about prices going up, look at your gas or electric bill right now. It has gone up, like I said, at probably the fastest rate in the last few decades. And I mean, the Senate is going to be probably where the most energy is and money is going to be spent. But right now, if you're Derek Van Orden in Western Wisconsin, I would say I'd have your resume updated, because I do believe that Jessica Cook is the Democrat that can beat him.
We got about a minute left. There was an article about a lot of congressional candidates leaving the Republican side and running for like governorships and all that, and leaving Washington. You know, so
the job of being a congressman sucks. I mean, you get a decent paycheck, but it's like most of these people could make more money doing something else.
Oh yeah,
and your independence, your agency, and what you want to do is basically entirely dependent on the mood of the president of the United States and the people that he basically pulls the puppet strings of in Speaker Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise. So if you're basically getting there to go up there and take marching orders and get screamed at and not get anything accomplished done that you personally want to get done, and the fact is that you'll probably be in the minority next year, why would you want to stick around in a job like that?
Right. And I think, and here in Wisconsin, balance of power in our legislature is up for grabs. Dude, one of the things I'm looking forward to is spending this year talking crap with you. So bring it on, baby.
I said, hopefully 2026 brings a Georgia national championship down here to the South in the SEC, but definitely looking forward to doing everything we can. The country is still under duress, but we're in a better position now than we were at the start of 2025, and let's make sure 2026 is a great year.
Same.
Save our republic.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate you, man. Have a great new year, and stick around next year, next week, and we'll have an all new episode of The Rational Revolution. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you so much.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.